Jacobs cutting back, getting to the edge. Jacobs is in for the touchdown.
Of course, the crowd wants Reed to go for it. Wouldn't be surprised if he did on fourth down and one.
Welcome to Fourth and One. I'm Todd Palmer, joined by Nick Jacobs. Nick, we have a bonus edition today, and this bonus edition is one I'm not even sure we knew we were going to do coming into the week. But there's been a lot of interesting things going on at Chiefs training camp, and we know that today we're recording this on Thursday was an off day, and that you guys want as much content as you can possibly get. So we want to help meet that need.
That's so sweet of you.
Yeah, no, I aim to please. I mean, you know, I think most people...
Do you?
I think most people who know me, that's the first thing they think of.
It's like the last thing I think of.
Ouch. That hurt me right here in my heart, Nick Jacobs.
What about your head? Did it hurt in your head?
No, I have a very hard head.
Well, we all have our struggles.
That is not a struggle, sir. You know, we've both got to make the trek up to St. Joe, you know, and spend a little time up there, get some actual eyes on the Chiefs there in padded practice. I can tell you what, I had never actually gotten to speak with Frank Clark before, and so far that may be the highlight of training camp for me. Was I think Frank and I are going to get along just fine.
Oh yeah, you guys going clubbing later this week or something?
Right. That's right.
What you're doing?
Frank's got jokes and Todd's got jokes. So we're good.
And Frank also apparently got pulled over for speeding. It was late to practice the other day.
Well, I have a lead foot too. I mean, I'm just saying
you have that in common with him as well. I've been in your passenger seat before and didn't know if we were ever going to do another fourth and one again.
Well, it was all right. We survived. I don't know why you get so nervous. By the way, I need to borrow your truck this weekend.
that'll never happen. I'm just going to be honest about that one.
All right. You know what else will never happen? Tre'Mond Smith starting at cornerback for the Kansas City Chiefs, apparently. Did you like that segue?
I would never say never. on our special edition of Hot Topics.
Flush Topics.
You just ruined it. So, good job, man.
I'm sorry. Do we have to pay Jim Gaffigan money for that?
No.
Okay. Thank God, because I don't have any. all right. Well, okay. I mean, one of the more interesting developments here the first week of camp was Tre'Mond Smith moved over to running back and was working at some running back. I will say this. He looked pretty bad at cornerback early in camp. But in fairness, like, pretty much all the cornerbacks have looked pretty bad early in camp. You know, but I mean, what do you think that says about Tre'Mond that they're even considering this in his second year in the league, a position switch at a position where, frankly, they can least afford to lose depth after Keith Reeser went out with an Achilles injury already and is likely, well, he's lost for the season.
Likely, yes. I would say with Tre'Mond Smith, I think they're trying to find a role. Because they're trying to find a role that he can do potentially, whether it may be utilizing him at running back, maybe we see him at receiver at some point,
a slot type guy,
or obviously they know he can play some corner, and then obviously kick return, punt return, and wherever else you're going to put him on special teams. I think they're trying to find a spot to where they can utilize him two to three different ways versus maybe this other guy that's only a good special teams player on the roster somewhere. So, and I mean, he was a former quarterback, and I looked at some of his high school tape, and I mean, he was a solid wide receiver down there in Arkansas from some of the stuff I was looking at, and he had really natural cutback, obviously, as he showcased in some of his kick returns in this past year. So, I think he's a guy that I think he's got good vision. I think he's got good balance. He didn't really have to stop and start to adjust and change direction. So, I mean, he's got some promise to it, and I know him and Andy Reid both spoke about it on Wednesday.
Yeah, and Andy, I'll just let Andy tell you about him, about Tre'Mond being the player of the year in Alabama.
It was actually brought up last year, you know, midway through the season, doing some good kick returns, and he brought it up, just some packages, actually. So, I mean, it's been thought of. It just didn't happen overnight.
Listen, he was the Alabama player of the year, right, offensive player of the year. So we had a running back nicked up. I had messed with him last year that I was going to play with him a little bit over on the offensive side. So I moved him over today just to take a peek at him, and we'll see how that goes. We know he could, you know, he could do corner side, but like to see him do some offensive stuff too.
So how jealous, first of all, that was Tre'Mont Smith and Andy Reid talking about experimenting a little bit with Smith at running back. How jealous is Dontari Poe that he never got that opportunity?
He got some goal line opportunities.
But he didn't get to, like, you know, switch over to that side full time and try to compete with Anthony Sherman for the job.
Yeah, well, you know, tough break.
Chris Jones is going to want to play quarterback now.
We'll see how it all works out. We'll see if he wants quarterback money afterwards.
What do you think this says about Tre'Mont and his ability to help out in the secondary this year, though? Which, to me, is still secondary and offensive line were the biggest areas of concern, I think, coming into camp. They remain the biggest areas of concern, with a hat tip to linebacker a little bit. But cornerback and offensive line remain the biggest areas of concern as far as what I've seen.
For me, it's the number two tight end and then cornerback position. So, yeah, I mean, the fact you're taking that cornerback means that you probably likely didn't see him more than sixth or seventh on the depth chart, because, like you said, if he was one of the higher skill set guys, you wouldn't be trying to bump him off of corner and put him at running back. So, I mean, he could help the offense be more explosive, and he could maybe be that number four running back potentially, or maybe running back hybrid / wide receiver like DeAnthony Thomas or something. But, cornerback position, they got some work ahead of them.
Yeah, a lot of work ahead of them. And I thought Steve Spagnuolo had some interesting comments, the Chiefs' new defensive coordinator. I mean, it stuck out very much to me when he was asked about the importance of the cornerback position, and basically said, the ability of our cornerbacks to be versatile is pretty much going to determine what we can do on defense this year. Let's hear from Spagnuolo about it.
I'm really trying to find out what we have at corner insofar as what they can do. It'll probably dictate what we play coverage-wise. We're throwing a lot at them, so we got a plethora of different coverages. Once we get a feel for what they can and can't do, we'll cut it down and settle in. So I'm just evaluating that as we go. We're giving them everything.
Since we didn't do it correctly, I'm going to do it this time. It's our second hot topic.
Are you worried about cornerback? I mean, Keith Reeser was a guy, I know, not a sexy name coming out of the AAF, but he was probably going to be one, you know, in that top five, certainly in the mix for that top four or five spot to be on the two deep. He's gone. After tearing his Achilles, and as we know, whether you go all the way back to Kimball Anders or whether you just look at, Eric Berry, Derek Johnson, I mean, those injuries are hard to come back from. Certainly probably not going to be back in time for even the playoffs at this point. How big a concern is cornerback depth right now?
No, I mean, Breland, I think you feel comfortable with. Ward and Wade, you're deciding on, and then you've got Kendall Fuller that you're
he like Monday's practice, he just got roasted left and right. I mean, he has struggled so far. How big a concern is that?
Well, part of the struggle that I think people have been watching is the one-on-ones versus what they're going to do scheme-wise. So I'm not putting an intense amount in it, because when they're in team, it's not as glaring as people will make it out to be when they're watching him versus Tyreek one-on-one and be like, oh my gosh. And I'm like, oh, Tyreek.
Hey, but it wasn't just Tyreek. It was McColl. It was whoever they put on him was roasting him.
So we'll see how it works out.
If the Chiefs make a move before training camp is over, whether that's trade, whether that's a significant, you know, veteran signing from somebody who gets cut, do you expect it to be cornerback?
Yeah, I think they're going to make an addition at cornerback. I mean, technically, they just signed Hunter, who had previously been with the Giants. But I think they'll make another move. It's just a matter of what's out there on the market that they can get. Because, in all honesty, if you were wanting to invest in corner, you had to do that in the draft. And then they obviously talked with Darby and Darquez Denard, and neither one of them ended up working out. So the cornerback position was very barren free agency this year, and I think the Chiefs would have made a move for it, but there just wasn't a lot out there. So, and I think some of the cornerbacks they had their eye on, once they made the Frank Clark play, I think they kind of they had to decide, do we want the rangy safety or do we want the corner this year? So I think they kind of had to go from there.
And they went with Juan Thornhill, who A lot of people, including some people on this podcast, have said they expect him to be the most impactful rookie this year, and he certainly looked like he's capable of that so far in training camp. You mentioned Frank Clark, though. And we've heard all about
hot topic number three.
We've heard all about the attitude. We've heard all about his motor and the way he holds guys accountable. And a little bit about how he talks smack to the other team and lets them know, you know, when he's dominating them, whether it's in one-on-ones or whether it's in team period or whatever it is. Well, we've seen it all this first week of practice from Frank Clark. Disappointed at all in what you've seen from him, or does this just get you even more jacked up that because I know he's a guy that you thought fit in with what they wanted to do, fits in perfectly at the Leo in Steve Spagnuolo's scheme, and is an ideal fit and an ideal leader for this team moving forward.
First off, stop gushing about your man crush just because he laughed at something you said. And it's easy to make Todd like you forever. You just gotta laugh at something he says.
Yeah, well, but he's, you know, I laughed at something he said too. There was a, you know, I feel like there was a
kinship there's a
we're kindred spirits. Yeah.
All right. Well,
he lives in a different tax bracket than I do.
Yeah. Yes.
I only get paid $16 million a year. To do this podcast, he gets like $21 million. So
okay, well, congrats on that. And I was unaware of that development. Well, that's great though. No, I mean, Frank Clark, whenever they brought him in here, they were trying to bring in a new mentality, a new attitude with him and Tyrann Mathieu, and they needed some guys that would speak up. They needed some guys that would hold other players accountable, but also put in all the work that they needed to be accountable and would feel it in their spirit. So whenever you had that opportunity to get two guys in their prime to kind of help you make that Super Bowl run and kind of be the defensive side's potential Patrick Mahomes in terms of how other guys on the defensive side of the ball look at them and respond to them, Frank Clark has raised the level at training camp there. He had some good battles against Fisher, and he had a nasty spin move on Cam Irving in one-on-one. Cam Irving had no chance. Clark set him up wide, hit the spin cycle on him, and that was pretty much over on that one for Cam Irving on that play. So, yeah, I mean, Fisher's getting better by going against him right now, and we'll see how things go here. But, yeah, no, Frank Clark's the tempo setter that they've needed on this defense for quite some time.
How many offensive linemen does he end up getting in a fight with before camp's over?
I don't think
it's gotta be at least one, right?
I mean, maybe. It just depends on what level he goes to.
One of the things that was interesting, though, Spagnuolo talked about after you know, particularly feisty workout that Frank Clark was going over, and he was talking to the guys and dapping them up and you know, kind of making sure that you know, everybody understands, hey, we're on the same team. We're here to get each other better. But Frank knows what he wants to do, and Frank knows what this team's goal is from the top down. I think he's prepared to do it. Let's hear from Frank Clark about the attitude he wants to bring to this defense.
I feel like we can be very good, you know, but first step is creating that competitive atmosphere. I feel like we all talked about, you know, just being brutally honest. It wasn't here on the defensive side last year. You know, when you look around, you see, you know, total defense, we rank 31st in the league. You know, that doesn't make anyone proud, you know, as a fan, as a coach, as a player. You shouldn't be proud. So, you know, thanks to Coach Reed, thanks to Veach, you know, and everyone who has something to do with bringing us together this year on this defense. But, you know, we come in here with a whole different type of attitude. You know, we come in here to win. We come here to compete, and we want to be the best.
He likes to have fun. Look at the guys that are secure, confident in their abilities and what they're doing. They go out and have fun. I just embraced them just a little bit ago because they battled the O-line and D-line today, and it gets a little bit contentious. But at the end of Coach Reed's huddle, Frank went over and was tapping all the offensive linemen. That's a team player right there. That'll make us better as a football team.
He loves to play, and that's the part you love about him. You loved it even when he was the opponent, the way he went about his business. And now that he's on your team, you love it even more. So that makes you better. And it's infectious all the way across, both sides of the ball. I mean, it's a great thing.
And that was Frank Clark, defensive coordinator Steve Spagnuolo and head coach Andy Reid talking about Frank Clark and his impact early. If you want to read more about it, by the way, you can go to kshb.com/Chiefs. We've got some great content, articles, videos from camp that are already up there. That should be a go-to destination for you guys throughout the season. But I quite frankly, one of the other things that I loved about Frank Clark was that he's just brutally honest. I mean, you know, it was pretty savage the way he kind of said, look, nobody should be proud of what this defense did last year. I mean, he understands, look, they were terrible. We need to get better. I mean, I think you want that ownership. You want that accountability. You don't want a guy who comes in and says, you know, we had a lot of good players. And, you know, if a couple things went right. No, you want a guy that comes in and said, we weren't good enough, quite frankly. And it's my job to make us better. That's what they paid me to do. And that's what I'm going to do. Right.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. He came from a championship culture in Seattle where they had a lot of defensive linemen and a lot of guys in that Legion of Boom that set a certain tempo and a certain mentality. So when he came in the league, he was able to learn that from those guys, and then he just helped continue that tradition and carry that torch. And now he's bringing that to Kansas City. And there were some guys on that defensive line, Michael Bennett, Cliff Averill, him, and a handful of the other guys, that they were some ruthless individuals. And so was that secondary with Chancellor and Earl and Richard Sherman. I mean, that Seahawks, I would have loved to have gone to some of those Seahawks practices during that era and watched how ruthless those guys were, just like the Denver Broncos were under Wade Phillips. I think that's what the Chiefs want to bring this year. I think they want to have that edge on defense, and I think they want to bring some ruthlessness, and I think that's kind of what they have in store with some of the guys they specifically targeted. And I know cornerback may be a problem, but if you got some guys like Frank Clark and Tyrann Mathieu, and if they have a linebacker that's able to step up between Hitchens or Damian Wilson, or maybe Ragland, it depends on who, or Ben Neiman, I don't care. But if they have one of those guys that steps up at that level, they got somebody that holds somebody accountable at each and every level, and they have guys that are on the field practicing and not talking about their spirit.
Speaking of guys who like to talk about their spirit, hot topic number 4.
Oh,
how'd I do?
Yeah, that's fine.
Totally new.
Whatever gets the segment over with.
Sammy Watkins, a guy, unique individual. We can save that conversation for another day. He seems to be very excited, though, about this season. One of the things he talked about was he worked with Tyreek Hill's, one of his offseason coaches to get better at getting in and out of his breaks, to learn how to stop his momentum and to be a little bit more effective. He also said, hey, I started listening to trainers instead of doing whatever I want this year, and it's helped my body. Shock that listening to men who are educated in their job as a professional is to help athletes stay in peak form would have good advice for you. But look, that's a positive thing too, I think, because that's always been the big thing. If he can stay healthy and if he's can improve a little bit as a route runner, oh my goodness, I mean that offense is going to be scary good, maybe even unstoppable.
I think for us, we are the home run team. We can throw deep. We got all these track runners, all these thoroughbreds is running, and if we can master the short yardage stuff and winning on our quick routes, I think we can possibly be unstoppable.
Sammy Watkins, can they be unstoppable, Nick? Can this offense be unstoppable?
If Patrick is willing to take some of the shorter passes at times, and they are able to blend that in with the home runs and the deep ball passes and the explosive plays and the play action and the zone reads, if they're able to put it all together, especially with how fast the wide receiving group is that they have when you watch them in person, they get a good chance to do some damage.
All right, let's take a quick break, and then we'll talk a little bit more about things that stood out to us at Chiefs training camp here on 4th and 1.
It's your time to shine. Join me every Sunday night for Sunday Sound Off, an interactive sports show where we put you in our starting lineup, answer questions, voice your opinion, sound off with our panel of experts.
Sunday Sound Off, sponsored by TDR Auto Plaza.
Good morning, everyone. It's going to be a beautiful day today in Kansas City. Clear skies, no chance for rainfall, and the heat is building.
If you're heading on out to the pool, it is just fantastic out there. The heat outside index, perfect 10.
Thank you.
Kansas City.
We love telling the stories of Kansas City.
Well, it's not exactly any one thing, and we couldn't do it without our reporters on the streets.
Behind these doors here at MCC.
Big flashes of lightning as well.
We hustle. We dig.
We bring you the important stories you won't see anywhere else.
So how many diapers are you giving out a month?
There is a difference in the morning. Watch us, and you'll see.
41 Action News, clear, complete coverage.
41 Action Sports with Mick Schaefer. Clear, complete coverage.
Welcome back to 4th and 1. I'm Todd Palmer, joined by Nick Jacobs. Nick, going to start off, I was really curious to see what Mecole Hardman Jr. would look like. You know, I mean, you knew that, you know, he was drafted to kind of be Tyreek Hill insurance, maybe Sammy Watkins insurance too, since you didn't, you know, we've talked about the injury history. We know about, you know, the offseason Tyreek had. So it made sense that you wanted to make sure you had some depth there. You were covered there. Now, though, I think he kind of becomes a luxury piece for this offense. He becomes just an extra chess piece for Andy Reid to play around with. And boy, I'll tell you what, you know, he hasn't played a lot of wide receiver. He needs some more polish on some routes and stuff like that. But the speed he's got, it's not quite Tyreek Hill speed, but it's one of those things you can't coach. And I think it's going to allow him to be an impact player, certainly on special teams and probably on the offense even quicker than I expected, as long as he can digest the playbook and grasp the verbiage that we know Andy Reid is so famous for.
Yeah, I mean, I'm curious to see how he does in terms of routinely catching passes and adjusting accordingly when the ball is maybe not necessarily thrown right in front of him. So that'll be an interesting aspect of it. And, I mean, overall, working on his route tree so that he stays explosive out of each and every break on it other than the vertical routes. So it'll be interesting to see. He's got some work ahead of him. And luckily with Tyreek Hill back, he doesn't have the pressure to have to be that immediately.
He doesn't, and one of the other things Sammy Watkins talked about this week was that he's taking a little bit more ownership, too. And whether this is because of the presence of Frank Clark and Tyrann Mathieu and, you know, and whether Patrick Mahomes has any influence or whether Watkins is just now that he's in his second season and he sees the potential of this team, he feels like he needs to do this. But he talked about wanting to step up his leadership and about how Mecole is one of the guys that he's really kind of taking under his wing, you know, and trying to help bring him along, trying to, you know, like flatten out that learning curve for him a little bit. And if those guys all buy in, I'll tell you what, because the other guy that stood out, I know you talked about him, you were impressed with him too at times, was Darwin Thompson and his speed. I mean, it's noticeable compared to other guys on the roster, you know, whether it's Carlos Hyde, whether it's Darrell Williams, who also took reps with the first team a lot during training camp this week, especially with Damian Williams sidelined with a hamstring injury. But Darwin Thompson's another guy that has, you know, some elite top end speed, and it'll be interesting to see the ways in which Andy Reid puts him to use.
Yeah, I mean, Darwin is an individual that's got good explosiveness. He's got good vision. And above all else, I like his balance, especially when he's getting contacted by another defender, the strength that he has to be able to explode out of that, rise into the defender, but still be able to run through him or run around him. His jump cut and exploding off that is really, really good, very Jamal Charles-esque. And he looks comfortable.
He's wearing 25, too. So.
Yeah, and he's very comfortable out of the backfield catching passes. So I think there's a lot of promise there. If he... I'm curious to watch more of him in pass protection because that's going to be the difference of if he is or isn't on the field for the most part and how much of the playbook he understands. And that's something you're going to see over the next month. But yeah, I mean, I think he's rising up the charts in my book.
And that's always the pass protection is always the key with young running backs, whether they can, you know, figure out where the blitzes are coming from and hold up against some of the, you know, some of the guys that they're going to have to block at this level to keep the quarterback safe. I know early returns, though. I mean, he hasn't looked overmatched so far at limited sample size that it may be. He hasn't looked overmatched in pass protection so far.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. I only get to really watch one day of him doing it, so we'll see after a handful of more practices.
All right. I also very impressed with Harrison Butker at camp.
I thought you were going to say Dustin Cole quit. You were impressed with how he walked up the hill when he was done with the specialist.
He did. Yeah, no. No, nobody walks up the hill like a 15-year-old veteran. You know, we talked a little bit about some of my camp impressions. You know, what are some things that stood out to you through this first week with guys in pads?
Yeah, Carlos Hyde. I think he's still got some work ahead of him on his conditioning. There was times where I'd see him walking to the pylon, and when he goes around it, and I know Bienemy would have yelled at him to finish. Had Bienemy been seeing that time and not doing some other things at that time, Hyde looked worn down, especially after Damian Williams had his hamstring injury, and Hyde took more of the reps. So I think Darwin Thompson's taking advantage of the reps while he's got them, and I'll see what Tre'Mond Smith does, and Daryl Williams is taking advantage of his reps as well, to where we'll see what happens with Hyde. He's going to have to start stepping up here, because if I'm in their shoes right now, I'm iffy on that type of effort.
What else stands out to you? I mean, Chris Jones being back in camp, obviously working. It kind of went under the radar, because when Chris Jones met with the media, it was the same day that Tyreek Hill met with the media, and the Tyreek Hill news dominated the headlines for various reasons. Chris Jones, though, look, I mean, you got to give him credit for being there, for putting in the work. And, you know, and Spagnuolo mentioned that Brendan Daly, or that he flagged down Brendan Daly after their 9:30 meeting and wanted to get more work. And he's trying to make up for lost time, and we'll see. I mean, you expect at some point that the Chiefs are going to, talks will heat up between Chris Jones's camp and the Chiefs about a possible extension, of his contract down the road, because he's in the last year of his rookie deal. You said all along before, a precursor to any of those talks was that he show up and he show out a little bit. You feel like he's done that?
No, I mean, he's definitely shown up, and he cares. I never doubted that he cared. It's just a matter of him being out there on the field. And once he gets in football condition with having the shoulder pads and helmet on and routinely having a guy essentially punch him in the chest with his hands in that regard, whenever you have an offensive lineman in their pass sets doing that to you or trying to grab a hold of your shoulder pads to drive the steering wheel, as we call it. It just takes time to get used to that, so it's going to take the entire month for that aspect of it, but I think he'll get up to par for the most part. Another guy that I was intrigued by, obviously, was Rashard Davis. He continued to shine, and I think worst case, he's pushing for a practice squad spot, but depending what happens with in terms of the Pringle, Cody Thompson, Marcus Kemp realm there, he could sneak on as the five or six, maybe, depending on what happens, if there's injuries or if he really shows up during preseason games. Second tight end, I didn't really see anybody stand up among Deion Yelder and Blake Bell and John Lovett. I didn't see any of those guys really stand out. Offensive line wise, I'm concerned about Mitchell Schwartz's back. Because once a guy starts, I hope the back spasm's a one-time thing, but it starts with the back spasms, then you start having the back issues, and then at some point it becomes a problem down the road. As I know Willie Rofe battled that for years. Dontari Poe battled that, and he had surgery probably a year later after I think he started having them. When I was watching the coach's film, you could see something was bothering him, and I wonder if that was what it was at the time. And then he had the back spasm during OTAs in 2015, I think, and then he had the back surgery, and then he really hasn't been the same player since. So whenever linemen start having the back issues on offense or defense, it rings the alarm to pay attention to. So I'm hoping for Mitchell Schwartz that isn't something that bothers him down the road. I hope it's a one-time deal, but that's something I'm going to be keeping an eye on for sure. And then
and it's worth noting, he's a guy who's never missed a snap in his NFL career. So the Chiefs may just be out of an abundance of caution right now.
I would.
Holding him out, because you know what you're getting in Mitchell Schwartz when he's healthy.
Right.
If he's having any kind of discomfort or any kind of issue at all right now, don't risk it.
No, and that's something that I think for what I'm talking about is really down the road over the next year, 2 years, to where you're keeping an eye on that. You give him as much time as he needs for that to get healthy. You do whatever treatment you have to do with it. And, you need him healthy for Jacksonville. You don't need him for – two, three, or four the preseason games. Yeah. You don't need him for any of those. Tano Passanio, obviously, has been talked about a lot.
Yeah, where did this guy come from?
athletically, here's what I'll say about him. I think he's got a good inside move. I think he would be good on twists and stunts, but whatever. I mean, he has the arm length. I just don't know if the strength's there to bull rush effectively. I mean, he's got some finesse moves, and I think if they're doing some of the twists and stunts, I think his speed will pay off and give him some great opportunities. But I think he could be a rotational guy. And I'm curious over the next couple of weeks if he's able to take it to a new level.
Yeah, it will be interesting because, like, all the guys on the defense. I mean, Alex Okafor has had a good camp so far, I think. Colin Saunders has made a few plays here and there. I mean, the D-line has been impressive, So I would just say people who were worried that the D-line was going to take a massive step back because they jettisoned so many players who had so many of the sacks, which is the one thing the defense could do last year. I think this group is more versatile. I think this group is more athletic. And I think that they're going to be overall an improvement. Not only maybe they won't have as many sacks, but I think they'll certainly be better against the run. I think they're going to be a little more physical, have a little bit more of an attitude and edge. And I think overall the defensive line is better.
Yeah, and then cornerback-wise, Mark Fields was a guy that I enjoyed watching play. I think he's starting to get a grasp of things.
What's his best fit? Where do you see Fields fitting in? I mean, do you think he can? Can he push?
Can he push
Charvarius Ward for time, or do you see him more as a slot nickel type guy?
Yeah, he's a slot nickel inside corner, and he's probably in that 5-6 range on the depth chart right now in that regard. But you're thinking of him as more of an inside corner, just like I think you're thinking of Fenton in that regard too. Yeah. And then Fuller on the outside. I'm not sure. Your three right now are going to be Breland, Ward, and potentially DeMontre Wade. Yeah. So I think that's kind of where you're at in that regard.
And Wade's the guy who stepped in and was starting when Bashaud Breland missed some time with a lacerated thumb. I think Keith Reeser would have been in that mix as one of the top three before the Achilles injury.
Correct. And then lastly, Juan Thornhill has continued to shine. I know he's playing with the second team right now, but at some point he'll end up overtaking Sorensen as that free safety. And that guy's range is it's special, and the way he's able to read and diagnose and drive on the football, and the way Chad Henne learned that he can't hang the ball up there too long, because I was watching one play and I saw it the entire way just like he did, and Henne was looking at the corner route and he tried to look off Thornhill, but Thornhill was disciplined enough, he wasn't having it, and then as soon as he threw that corner route, Thornhill was right there to jump the route and intercept it. So yeah, Thornhill's got natural instincts, he's a disciplined guy, he's not going to bite on the pump fakes for the most part, and he's going to do his job and play his zone coverage or play whatever he has to. And I'm very intrigued to continue to watch him develop.
Yeah, he's they like to talk about arm strength of quarterbacks. He's got ball skills in the secondary.
Well, that's a good thing to have.
All right, Harry, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back to answer some of your questions here on 4th and Row.
Forty-One Action Sports with Mick Schaefer. Clear, complete coverage.
Cutting the cable cord? 41 Action News is now on Roku. Search KSHB. Add our channel and you're set. All of our newscasts stream live. No other station in Kansas City can say that. Get clear, complete coverage on 41 Action News now on Roku.
We don't just report the stories. We find the stories. Getting the answers you deserve every day, every night. 41 Action News at 10. Clear, complete coverage.
It's your time to shine. Join me every Sunday night for Sunday Sound Off, an interactive sports show where we put you in our starting lineup, answer questions, voice your opinion, sound off with our panel of experts.
Sunday Sound Off, sponsored by TDR Auto Plaza.
Welcome back to 4th and 1. Nick, we're in the C block. What does the C block mean?
This time it's going to be check the tweets. It is not going to be name that chief, though.
I had one ready. I was working
Sunday,
on one.
That's a Sunday special.
I was working on one, and Nick told me no.
I just told you that's a Sunday special.
So, but well, still, the other part of the C block is the check the tweets.
All right. This first one's going to come from the Super Silver. How many running backs and wide receivers do you think the Chiefs will keep?
I don't know. I haven't like broken it down yet. I mean, I think they'll keep at least four running backs, counting Anthony Sherman. Maybe maybe a fifth one. I mean, they did last year when they kept Darryl Darryl Williams. I think there's always that swing guy, whether it's, you know, somebody who's going to add some special teams value. You know, so I would say between the two positions, they'll probably keep 11. You know, maybe 12, depending on the breakdown and the needs of other positions, and who ends up winning those special teams jobs and impressing Dave Tobe.
Mm-hmm. Will Hamilton ask, is Frank Clark helping Eric Fisher get better, or is Fisher helping Frank Clark?
Oh, it's Frank Clark helping Eric Fisher. I don't think there's any doubt about that. I mean, one of them is a league average player slightly above league average player in Eric Fisher. One of them is one of the better players in this position, I think, in the National Football League. So I think Eric Fisher gets better going up against Frank Clark.
Our next question comes from Gunn Norman. How are the backup quarterbacks looking?
Look, I mean, Chad Henne's a guy that there's a noticeable difference between Patrick Mahomes' arm strength and Chad Henne's, but I think there's also a noticeable difference between Chad Henne's arm strength and like a Kyle Shurmur, for instance. I mean, I think Shurmur is probably headed to the practice squad if the Chiefs, you know, want to keep him around, and there's every reason for them to want to. I think you know, Litton's going to stick around. I mean, the only reason that you would get rid of Chad Henne at this point would be a salary cap move, and there's not really a lot of pressure for that. He gives him a stable veteran presence. Look, everybody they have is going to be a huge drop-off, but I think you could still win some football games with Chad Henne at quarterback right now.
And our final question comes for Paul. Will the hopeful improvements everywhere else on defense cover up the weaknesses at corner?
Well, I don't know, because, you know, if you can't man up at all on the outside with your corners, that's going to severely limit what you can do as a defense. I don't know that we've seen whether these guys can hold up in man coverage. You know, I mean, you like the safeties. You feel comfortable with giving them a little bit of help. I think they've got a lot of linebacker depth and some guys that could help in some zone coverage. I mean, I think they can get by playing some zone, but I think you'd feel more comfortable if those guys were adept at both. And I just don't know that we've seen enough to make that determination yet. So cornerback's still the position that I'm most worried about on that defense.
And that's all for this edition of Check the Tweets.
And that's all for this edition of 4th and 1, Nick Jacobs, unless you have something else to add.
No. When are you coming back, Todd, to do a show?
When am I coming back?
Yeah, you're the one that has the off days, not me.
Well, I mean, I came in on my off day last weekend.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. So,
well, I mean, I'll do it again.
Okay, all right. So, people, Todd is saying he will be here for another 4th and 1 on Sunday.
Yeah, so look for it Sunday night, Monday morning. We hope you guys enjoyed this. We hope you guys follow us on Twitter. We hope you guys are excited about the season as we are.
What's your Twitter handle, Todd?
It's at TODPALMER. That's Todd with 1D. Nick Jacobs is at Jacobs71 because he was born in 1971.
I was not expecting that one.
Totally nailed it. Now, I'm guessing that was like your number when you were in high school.
Yes, it was. It was my football number.
So he's not quite 48 yet.
No, but my body feels like it a lot of the time.
Some days, walking from the car to training camp.
Oh yeah, no, that was brutal, man. My calf is still swollen.
Yeah. So, all right. Mm-mm. Well, anyway, we'll be back. Both of us are heading back to camp a little bit during the coming week, and we will let you guys know what we see, what we think, how we feel about the way this season is coming together. Take care.
It was an awful close.